Good morning, everyone. Today's daf, and Yevamos daf Kuf Yud Aleph. We're on the very bottom of Kuf Yud Amud Beis. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf has learned Lezecha Nishmas Liba Gabriela Bashmuel. On the bottom of the Amud, we're starting with the words Maita Kanta. Well, how do you rectify the situation? So let us review what the situation is, and then we'll talk about rectification of the situation. The Mishnah described a number of circumstances, instances where a man is married to a katana, to a chereshes. And so these are marriages that are not operating on a daraisa level. These are not the nisue daraisa. In order to have nisue minator, you need das, you need a certain mindset, you need to have mental faculty. The chereshes is the assumption is the chereshes, the deaf mute, does not and will never have the mental faculty. A katana, currently in her current state of being a minor, also does not have mental faculty. She has an excellent prognosis. She will become a gadola. She will grow up. She will eventually have her mental faculty, but right now she doesn't. And obviously, whenever we discuss Katana, certainly in the context of the 13th Perek Yevamos, we're talking where she was married off not by her father, but married off by either a mother or by a brother, so that the Kedushin is only a Nisue Durabana, not a Nisue Duraisa. Kedusha Katana, that's what we've been discussing. So what happens then in the event that the husband dies and leaving these women to her brother-in-law? So what are we doing under those circumstances? So basically, the simple response is we Yibam Mechalitz is done on a Durabban level. Now with the Cheresh and the Chereshes, you have a problem because the Chereshes can't do Chalitza because she can't talk. And like we learned a couple days ago, in order to be involved in the mitzvah of Chalitza, you have to have the ability to talk. So an inability to talk disqualifies you from the mitzvah of Chalitza, but okay, but there's still mitzvah of Yibam to be done. So if you look back at the Mishnah, you remember yesterday's Mishnah, we did a Kuf Yud Amud Aleph and towards the bottom of the Amud. So the Mishnah described a number of circumstances where these wives die and the brother now is going to be doing the mitzvah of Yibam, and how exactly is it done? Then the Mishnah discussed the following case. Let's say a man is married to a Ketana and a Chereshes. Okay, so the man's married to both a minor and the Chereshes. Both of the marriages are a marriage midrabanan, and he dies, and it leaves the two to his brother-in-law. So what do you do in that circumstance? So the Mishnah says, So the Mishnah doesn't give much input on the matter. The Mishnah just simply says it's a problem. If you could look back at the Mishnah in Kuf Yud Amud Aleph, the Mishnah says Ketana v'Chereshes. If a man is married to a Ketana and a Chereshes, ain bias achas men poteret sarasa. The bia with one of them is not going to relieve the other one. So in other words, we don't look at the two of them to be equals. And so when he has beer with one, it doesn't excuse the other. That's all we get from the Mishnah. So the Mishnah basically says, it's a problem. Okay, good. It's a problem. Now, we'd like a solution. So what I'll do is I'm going to just backtrack a little bit. I'm going to go back to the two das, Ketana v'Chereshes. I'm going to go over the explanation the Gemara gives of why they're not equal. And then we're going to continue in the Gemara. Amar Rav Nachman. And Kuf Yud Amud Beis at the two dots. Ashkechisa l'Ravada Brava l'Ravada Brava l'Ravchana Chasnei. I encounter Ravada Bavna together with Ravchana, his son-in-law. Mekavu Akvasa Beshuka de Pumbadisa, and they were teaching Torah in the market of Pumbadisa. Amri Hadidnan, and we have a Mishnah Ketana v'Chereshes and Biachas Man Poteret Sarasa. So in this circumstance, where we know that the Bia with one is not going to help or assist the other one. It's not going to excuse the other one. So the Gemara says, maybe the case in the Mishnah is dealing with the following. Who was the man who died? Who was the original husband who died? He was a pikeach. So he had his full faculty. He was smart. You know, he had enough intelligence. And what we don't know is, who was more his wife? I know that's a funny question. I realize that that's strange, right? Who's more his wife? Well, right? Generally speaking, when a man marries a woman in the Torah, we don't give any preferential treatment to one woman over the other. In fact, open up the Chumash, open up to the beginning of Parshas Kiseitse, the Torah goes out of its way to say, you know, you have more than one wife, I realize you're going to pick a favorite, right? You have Ahuva, you have Snua, you have one that you like, you have one you don't like. Lo Yakir, you shouldn't give any preferential treatment, meaning once you're married to a woman, that's it, you're married to her. And there's never a hierarchy of, well, this one I like better and this one I don't like better. That's generally true. However, here we can have this discussion, because here the wives in question are not married to him in a Torah. They're only married to him in the Rabbanan. And so therefore here we can actually entertain the question of which one is he feel more connected to, and it actually will impact the degree of marriage. This is what the Gemara is suggesting. So, well, we don't know which one he preferred. Did he prefer the wife that was a ketana, or did he prefer the wife that was a chereshet? And the Gemara points out that each one of them has pros and cons. On one hand, the ketana is maybe his preferred wife, because even though right now she's a ketana, she's a minor, she doesn't have a das, she doesn't have knowledge, but she will have. In other words, she's going to grow up. But on the other hand, the chereshes has a probe, because right now she doesn't have das, but she's an adult and she satisfies him, and she's right now serving as a wife. So what the Gemara now is suggesting is that in this particular scenario, we are unsure which one is quote unquote his preferred wife, and that's why when he dies, leaving the two now for the mitzvah of Yibum, we don't know, the Yavam simply doesn't know which one to do the mitzvah of Yibum to, because of this built-in doubt of we don't know which one was his preferred wife. But what they want to argue is the following, that let's say that the husband who died was a cheresh. So the Gemara says there, we don't have a doubt. And for sure he's going to choose a cheresh, and the reason why is bas biyahi. And ubas minehi. Here, when it comes to the relationship between the cheresh and the chereshes, there are two pros. There are two arguments why this one is his quote unquote preferred wife. Number one, she's a gedola. Number two, matzah minas mino. He's a cheresh, she's a chereshes. They're just simply more compatible with one another. So I think in that circumstance there's no doubt who his quote unquote his preferred wife is. His preferred wife is a chereshes, and under such circumstances, if he dies, leaving two for the yavam will do the mitzvah of yibum to the chereshes. That's what I think. Says the rabbis as they were learning Torah in Pumadisa. V'amina luhuana. Now remember, all this goes back to Rav Nachman. So Rav Nachman was hearing the discussion. Rav Nachman says, I'm not buying it. I feel enough me'achiv cheresh amimisafkalei. I think that even if the husband was a cheresh, I still think it's a suffik. Okay. So in other words, Rav Nachman says, it's a nice try. I heard the argument. I didn't like the argument. I disagree with the argument. Good.
Why do we have to assume that the preferred wife has to be taken.
Because the preferred wife is going to be the one that's quote unquote more married to him. Again, on a Torah level, we're not having this discussion. But both of the marriages are derabanan, so the preferred wife is more married to him, more connected to him, and so therefore that'll pater the other wife. That's what the Gemara is right now suggesting. Now that the Gemara suggested it and Rav Nachman rejected it, so now what we're going to do from this point going forward today, for the first Amud of today, Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, from here until the Mishnah, which is on the bottom of Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, what we're going to learn together is the following. The marriage between a man and a chereshes is a marriage midrabanan. Good. The marriage between a man and a ketana, not married off by her father, is a marriage midrabanan. Good. Those are two facts. Those are things that we've been assuming throughout this parak. But not all marriages midrabanan are the same. And what we're about to learn together is that even though the Chachamim instituted marriage for the chereshes and for the ketana, they are not the same. It's not the same marriage midrabanan. And that is why our Mishnah says that the bia or chalitza with one will not pata the other. Basically, in other words, the argument that we just offered in the Gemara, what Rav Nachman listened to and rejected, we're rejecting it. Meaning the Gemara is rejecting it. It is not a question of which one is his preferred wife, which one does he like more, which one is he more connected to. That's not it. What it is, as we're about to see now in the Gemara, is that the Chachamim, when legislating, when instituting this marriage between he and the Chereshes, between he and the Ketana, it legislated it, but it's simply not the same. And we're going to learn a fundamental difference between the marriage midrabbanan, between he and a ketana, the marriage midrabbanan between he and a mechereshes, and based on this fundamental difference, then what we're going to see now is the Gemara play out exactly why he can't just simply do yibam and chalitza with one, and what the Gemara is about to do also, on top of all that, is tell us what would be the takana, what would be the solution in terms of how to let both of these women now go free so that both of them can continue on with their lives. You'll see all this inside. Ketza takanasam. So the Gemara over here says, what's the takana? What do we do to help the situation? Amar Rav Chista, Amar Rav. So Rav Chista quotes his Rebbe Rav, and Rav says, Kones ha-chereshes. So here's what he's going to do. Marry the chereshes, umotzia beget. Now, you'll notice very carefully, it doesn't say yibum. And you'll see why. And we're going to explain better in just a moment. Marry the chereshes, and then give her a get. And then katana tamtim hashatagde v'tachlos. And as far as the katana is concerned, wait till she grows up, and then do chalitza, and now good. What you have done in this solution, the Mishnah doesn't present it, but the Mishnah just leaves it off as a problem. The Gemara now is giving the solution. What we're going to do in the solution is allow both women now to go free. So again, what we're going to do in this, the solution according to Rav is A, first marry the chereshes, and then give her a get, so now she went free. B, then wait till the ketana grows up, she becomes a gedola, then give her chalitza, now she's going to go free as well. Okay, and all we're left to do now, only one amud of Gemara to do this, is figure out why is that the perfect solution, and what and why is there no other solution to this matter. What the marriage actually is going to entail? That right. In other words, to go through. Yeah, right. Presumably it's yibum. Yeah. That's what it would seem like. Now, Amar Rav Chista. So here we go with the Gemara's explanation. Shema mina kasav Rav. So Rav Chista says, based on the solution that was given, it's like reverse engineering right now. We know what the solution is, and now based on the solution that was given, we're going to work backwards now, and we're going to see what's underneath the hood. We're going to see why exactly Rav says this has to be the perfect solution. All right. Kasav Rav Cheresh is kenuya mishiras katana kenuya ve'ena kenuya. Okay, this is the line of the day in terms of the daf, or at least the first amud of the daf. It must be the following. When it comes to the marriage that was established, was instituted by the Chachamim between a man and a Chereshes, it is what the Gemara refers to as Kinuya u'mishuyeres. There is an acquisition, but leaving something over. Meaning, not a full acquisition, a partial acquisition. Okay, kinyanim. In other words, when we talk about marriage, we talk in the context of kinyan, not for the purposes of objectifying, just simply because that's the language that's used. That's the concept that's used. So when a man marries a woman, he's making a kinyan. He's making an acquisition. And in terms of an acquisition, so first Mishnah Kedushin, first like 12 blot of the Gemara in Kedushin is a discussion of how exactly does he make that kinyan. But the way a kinyan works is I make an acquisition, I acquire something. And once I make an acquisition, the item becomes completely mine. When the Chachamim instituted marriage between a man and a chereshes, she doesn't have the requisite das. The Chachamim allowed the kinyan to take place, but in their legislation, what they did is that they only made it a partial kinyan. Again, the language of the Gemara is kenuya umishu yeres. Leave something over. That is the nature of the marriage between a man and a chereshes. Now let's turn to ketana. What is the nature of the relationship between a man and a ketana? And again, she's not married off by the father. She doesn't have das. The Chachamim allowed her mother or her brother to marry her off. So what is the nature of that relationship? The Gemara's language is kenuya v'ena kenuya. Acquired, not acquired. Meaning, all or nothing. Which one is it? Exactly. It's either acquired, or it's an acquisition, or it's nothing. Kenuya v'ena kenuya. And if you think about it, let's think about it for just a moment, it makes perfect sense. Well, in other words, I know it's strange, but it makes perfect sense. Because what is this girl allowed to do before she grows up? She can be memayin, she can refuse, she can say simply, Right? I don't like this idea. Right? I understand that was done in my best interest, but I'm not interested. And she could step away from the marriage. How in the world could she step away from the marriage? She's a married woman. A woman married cannot step away from the marriage. She can. Why? Because again, the Chachamim legislated this marriage to be so, and the vehicle and the mechanics in terms of what the Chachamim are doing is giving her the status of kenuya ve'ena kenuya, meaning it's acquired, it's not acquired. Meaning that at any point in time, she could say, look, it's a tenuous relationship. I don't want in, I want out. She can actually step away. So that's the side of Eina Kenuya, meaning she's basically opting with, I don't want the king in. On the other hand, she could stay in. If she stays in, she doesn't need a new marriage. Yesterday we talked about upgrading her from Kedusha Ketan to Kedusha Gedola, and Rav says it has to be done with Bia. But in other words, but she's in the marriage, so how is she in the marriage? Kenuya. So in other words, for the Ketana, it's either all or nothing. So basically, to summarize, according for the Chareshis, it's partial Kenyan. For the Ketana, it's all or nothing. And now with this in mind, and I understand there's going to be a lot of thinking required for today. I get it. But with this in mind, and this is really all we need to go forward, the Gemara will, for a little bit later on, suggest maybe that the opposite is true. But really, this is the conclusion, that the Chereshis is Kenuya Mishuyeres, it's a partial Kenyan. The Ketan is Kenuya Veina Kenuya, it's either all or nothing. And from this point going forward, now we're going to look back at Rav's solution. Now we're going to understand that's exactly why Rav instituted the solution that he did. Let's see the Gemara inside. So, the Kasav Rav Chereshis Kenuya Mishuyeres Ketan Kenuya Veina Kenuya. The Isa Kadatcha, the Gemara says, because think about it. Let's try to... Let's try to reverse. Let's suggest that the Chereshis is all or nothing. And the Ketana is a partial Kenyan. So Chereshis, am I Konis and Mitzia Beget? So now, if that's true, so then the Chereshis. So what he's going to do, he's going to marry her. And then he's got to divorce her. Well, why does he have to divorce her? Meaning, what are your options with the Chereshis? It's either all or nothing. So Tesef Gabay. So if he marries her, so he can keep her as a wife. Because, miman avshach, if it was a full acquisition, so good. What does that mean? It was a full acquisition with the original husband. The husband died, so what is he doing now? It's called the mitzvah of Yibum. Wonderful. And ha-kenuyahi, v'ilav kenuyahi, ha-nachris ma'amahi. Now, if it's nothing, that's also great. So that means the marriage between her and original husband was nothing. So what is she? She's an available woman. She wasn't married previously. She's an available woman. You picked her up, you married her, great. So you don't have to divorce her. I repeated that line. So the Gemara says, okay, good. So we understand that it can't go the other way around. It can't be that the Chereshis is Kenuya Veina Kenuya. The only way to understand Chereshis is that it's Kenuya Mishiyaris, it's partial Kenyan. Good. So the Gemara says, let's go back with the correct understanding. And now let's just wonder out loud. Why for the Ketana does she need to wait and receive Chalitza? So that's the Gemara's question. So v'chitem a Ketana mai tamtim achetagda v'tachlo tesef gabei. So the Gemara says, for the Ketana, let the Ketana stay with him. I kenuyahi ha kenuyahi. Now, if the marriage between the Ketana and the original husband was a full marriage, so great. So that means then that when the husband dies, then there's a full opportunity for the mitzvah of Yibam. I lav kenuyahi. And if there was no marriage whatsoever, again, it's either all or nothing. So that's great. She's just simply an available girl. The Gemara says, I'll tell you what, you're right. In other words, if all we had to deal with was just a Ketana, so then you're 100% correct. In your, either way, you'd be allowed to marry the Ketana. Either you're fulfilling the mitzvah of Yibum, or there was no marriage between her and the original husband, and all you're doing then is just simply picking up a woman, an available woman. But you're right, but here becomes the problem. The problem then is, there's no solution for the Chereshis. The Chereshis is going to be left and stuck in the world of limbo. If you take a look at Rashi right here, Chereshis by my tape book, Rashi writes, Halav bas chalitza hi. The Rav tekanta l'tarvayu ketani. Rav is interested in giving a takana for both the katana and the chereshes. You're right. If for the katana, if we only were interested in the katana, you're absolutely right. You could do the mitzvah of yibum with the katana. Either it's yibum or it's marriage. One or the other. But then what you're left with is a chereshes with no solution. Rashi writes, the ikasha masnis and diktani bala katana v'chazer bala chereshes pasla se katana my pasla ho v'nas babereisha tepe chereshes begev v'katana teis of gabe mimanov shachidamaran v'katakanta l'tavayu. So the Rashi points out, why don't you just simply have him marry the katana first, and then the chereshes allow her to give her a get? So the Gemara says, Rashi says, "Teretz masisim b'shem gzera dilma asal amival chereshes bereisha v'achinam imetaritz bebreisa l'kamon." So Rashi points out that there's going to be a gzera, which we're going to see later on, that you cannot first marry the katana and then the chereshes for a gzera, which we're going to explore and explain later on in the Gemara. But in the meantime, however, the reason why you can't just simply marry the katana is because then you're not going to have a solution for the chereshes. That's why Rav says, first marry and divorce the chereshes, then allow the katana to grow up and do chalitza to her, and now you have a solution for both so that both of them can go on with their lives. Good. Ad Khan, that is now Rav Chissa's understanding of Rav, both his solution and really the mechanics behind the solution. In other words, that the two marriages, the Rabbanan, one between him and the Ketana, one between him and the Chereshes, are not the same. They are different, they're operating with different mechanisms. For the Chereshes, it's a partial kinyan. For the Ketana, it's either all or nothing. Amar of Sheshet Hachinami Mestabra, Kemetakaritz Rav Chista Aliba Derav. Rav Sheshet says, I'm going to endorse this understanding. I think this is absolutely correct, Tanya. And the reason why I think it's correct is because I'm going to show you a Brisa. We're going to learn a Brisa together now. And in the course of this Brisa, we're going to see that the only way to understand the Brisa is based on the explanation we just gave in terms of the nature of the marriage between him and the Chereshes, him and the Ketana. We learned the following. Shnei Achim Nesum Shnei Achaya. If two brothers are married to two sisters, skip the next word. Kitana of the Chereshes. And one is a Kitana and the other is a Chereshes. So here in this Brisa, we're going to have basically the same construct, but it's two brothers married to two of them, and the two of them are sisters. So one sister is a minor, and the other is a Chereshes. Meis Balasha Kitana. So now, the husband of the Kitana dies. So now that means that the Kitana is opening is a possible candidate for Yibum. Chereshes Yotzia Beget. So what do you do? So the Chereshes, you give her a get, you divorce her, meaning this is now the surviving brother's responsibility. And as far as the Ketana is concerned, wait till she grows up, and then you'll give her chalitza. Now why? Because they're sisters with one another. And because they're sisters with one another, now you have, right, you have now each one impacting the other, like we've said a number of times. But let's just say it out loud. When it comes to the chereshes, the surviving brother with his current wife, the chereshes, so here, this marriage cannot continue. Why not? Because there's a zika coming now from his wife's sister. And that Zika may in fact be a bona fide Zika. Remember, the way to understand the marriage with the Ketana is either all or nothing. If it's all, so now you have a full Zika. What is his current wife right now? Acho Zekukaso, the sister of his Zekuka. So and the marriage between him and his current wife at best is a partial marriage, not a full marriage. So that's why he cannot continue the marriage with his wife. What about now doing the mitzvah of Yibum with his sister-in-law? You can't do that as well. Because again, with his sister-in-law, it's all or nothing. So if it's all, that's great. And if it's nothing, what is she then? She's his wife. She is his wife's sister. So that's why what you're going to do in order to create a solution. I understand it's not a happy solution, but a solution to allow both women to continue with their lives is to divorce his current wife and to do chalitza when his sister-in-law grows up. Meis bala shel chereshes. And by the way, you see what I did? In other words, in explaining the case of the Brisa, the way I explained it, this is what Rav Sheshes' point is. The way I explained it is by explaining that the marriage between him and the Chereshes is a partial marriage, and the marriage between him and the Ketana, I should say rather, the Zika between him and his Ketana is all or nothing. Right, I used Rav's explanation, but it wasn't me. It's Rav Sheshes making exactly that point. We're using Rav's explanation, and with that explanation, the Brisa makes perfect sense. No, because the chereshes is achas zukukaso. It's the sister of a zukuka, and that status is never going to change. Umeis bala shel chereshes ketana yotze beget. So then the husband of the chereshes dies. This is now the next case in the braisa. So then what? Ketana yotze beget. So the ketana now is going to, again, we're looking for a solution for both of the women. So the ketana is yotze beget, v'chereshes asur la'olam. So here the ketana now is allowed to go, and the chereshes is going to be asur la'olam, she'll be forever forbidden. V'im ba'ala chereshes. Now, if he does have relations with the chereshes, nosan la'ged v'hutra. So then he can give her again, and he can permit her. Okay, ad kan divrei habraisa. That is the end of the braisa. Iyamar bishlam chereshes kenuya mashiras kitana kenuya veina kenuya. Now, if we work with Rav's understanding, which is that chereshes is a partial kinyan, and the kitana is all or nothing, mishum hachidichi bala chereshes nosin laged v'hutra. So then I understand the finality of the braisa. What does the braisa say? That if he has relations with the chereshes, he shouldn't. But if he has relations with the chereshes, so then he gives her a get, and then she's mutar damar mimanavshach. Because again, what are our options? If the relationship between he and the ketana is a full relationship, so then the chereshes doesn't have a zika at all, because achosisha, she's the sister of your wife, and he love kenuya shapim miyabim. And if the marriage between him and his current wife, the ketana, is nothing, so then that means that there's a full zika between him and the chereshes, and then the yibum is in fact a bona fide yibum. Elaim are chereshes kenuya veina kenuya. Ketana kenuya mashiras, but let's reverse it one more time. Let's at least attempt to reverse it and offer the opposite arguments. Kibala chereshes amayno senge v'hutra. So the Gemara says, now if he has relations with the chereshes, so how can he give her a get? Havile bia psula. What that is a bia psula, deficient bia that he just had with her. U bia psula lo patra. And remember, a bia psula does not excuse her, meaning does not dissolve the zika. So it doesn't work if we were to reverse the arguments, giving the chereshes the all or nothing status and giving the ketana the partial kinyan status. So therefore, the only way to maintain the braisa and to understand the braisa is having the chereshes a partial kinyan and having the ketana an all or nothing status. Good. So again, all Rav Sheshes is doing is just simply solidifying what Rav Chista's understanding of Rav was based on the end of the braisa. The Gemara just is going to be a little bit argumentative. Gemara says, well, maybe we could maintain course and we could argue that the chereshes is a all or nothing and the ketana is a partial. And what we could maintain is that you're right, it's a bia psula, it's a deficient bia, but you remember all the way back in the fifth parak of the Masechta, there is a tanu who says that a bia psula is going to be poter, is going to release the co-wife. So the Gemara says, you Rabbi Nechemia, I must say, for the Gemara says, yeah, but that's very difficult. If you want to assign this braisa to the opinion of Rabbi Nechemia, so then keep going in the braisa. Misha yanasu ishte yisomos, ketana v'chereshes. A man is married to two orphans, one being a ketana, the other being a chereshes, umeis, and he dies by yavam al ketana v'chazor ba'al chereshes, and then the brother-in-law comes and has relations with the ketana father, and by the relations with the chereshes, osheba achiv al chereshes, or let's say there was a third brother, a second surviving brother, and he has relations with the chereshes, nesu shteim aleim, nesu shteim alav, they both will become prohibited to him, ketza tekanasam. So what do you do? Chereshes yotze beget, so the chereshes you give her again. And the ketana wait for her to grow up and then do chalitza with her. So now, that is the next part of the braisa. Now, let's work with our default understanding, which is really the Gemara's, which is, correct understanding, which is that the ketana is all or nothing, and the chereshes is a partial kinyan, and the entirety of the braisa is going like the chachamim, so then I get it. Mishum hachitam temashitag devatachlots. So then I totally understand why it is that you're going to wait for the ketana to grow up to do chalitza. Didil makadim obal chereshes bereisha. Because think about it, what just happened? The surviving brother did first the bia with the chereshes, v'havile bia de ketana bia psula. So that means that the bia then that was done with the subsequent, with the other Yavama, is a bia psula, a deficient bia. So then, which disqualifies both. But we also know that that if the author of the Brisa was Reb Nechemiah, so Bia Psula would release her. So we know that the author of the Brisa is not Reb Nechemiah, but rather it's a Chachamim. And once we know that the Brisa is a Chachamim, so then once again, we're going to go back to Rav Chisda and Rav Sheshis' understanding of Rav, which is that the relationship between him and the Chereshis, the original husband, the Chereshis, is a partial kinyan, and the nature of the relationship between him and the Ketana is all or nothing. And then with that in mind, the Braisa that makes perfect sense. And Rav Ashi says, and I just want to support this one more point. If you look back at the beginning of the Braisa, it's clear that the Braisa is authored by Rav Ashi. Why? If he has relations with the Chereshis, he'll give her a get and a release her. If he has relations with a Ketana, he gives her a get and releases her. So the Gemara says that in of itself is not going to be a good proof, because for the Chereshes, there is no way to solve the problem. So therefore, Katani Takanta, Di Isur. Katana Di Isle Takanta De Eter, but when it comes to the Katana where there is a permissible way to rectify the situation, Lo Tani Takanta Di Isur, therefore the Brisa is not going to give a suggestion that is going to have to violate any type of Isur whatsoever. Okay, Ad Kan, that takes us to the end of the discussion. So again, just to quickly summarize, so the Gemara says that if a man is married to a Chereshis or Ketana and he dies, so the Mishnah says that the surviving brother cannot do Bi'er Chalisa to one of them to exempt the other. That's what the Mishnah says. Then in terms of what the solution is, the Gemara says the solution is going to be follow the viewpoint of Rav, quoted by his Talmud, Rav Chisda, which is that first you'll marry the Chereshis and then you'll give her a get, and then you're going to wait for the Ketana to grow up and you're going to do Chalitza to the Ketana. And why? So the answer is, to make a longer Gemara a little bit shorter, the reason behind that is because the nature of the marriage instituted by the Chachamim between him and the Chereshis is partial. The nature of the marriage between him and the Ketana was all or nothing. And so therefore, the Zika that falls on the surviving brother between him and the Chereshis is partial. So what is he going to do? Marry her, which may fulfill the mitzvah of Yibum, at least the partial nature of it, and then he'll divorce her. Then as far as the Ketana is concerned, you see Yibum that he did with the Chereshis doesn't resolve or dissolve the Zika between the Ketana, because what's the Ketana Zika? It's either all or nothing. If it's all, certainly going to trump the Chereshis. If it's nothing, then it's nothing. So what do you do for the Ketana? Wait for her to grow up, then do Chalitza with her, because whatever's left over, whatever Zika is left over with her, is going to be resolved and dissolved by the Chalitza done with her. Good. That is Rav Chisda and Rav Sheshis' understanding of Rav, and the Gemara says, and that's the correct understanding. Just one point of interest. There's another solution which the Gemara doesn't mention. A simple one. Can we say? Meaning, again, the problem is a man was married to a Ketana and to a Chereshis, and he dies, leaving them for the mitzvah of Yibum. Good. And we just spent the first half of today's daf going over how to resolve the problem. Yeah. Correct. So the Rambam writes, right? You could look it up. The Rambam writes that another solution to the problem would be having the Ketana do Mian. It is interesting. The Gemara spends an amud of Gemara discussing this.
That doesn't mean that she falls in a category.
I mean, she's a Ketana.
But she could have just married by her father.
I understand, but we're assuming that the entire discussion on the Gemara assumes that it was not married off by the Ketana. You're right. Married off by the Ketana, then no. So it is interesting, and the Rishonim point this out, and you can take a look at the Rambam over there. The Ravid right there points it out as well. It is interesting that the Gemara spends an Amud discussing this matter, giving us the solution, and the Gemara doesn't mention Mion. And it certainly is interesting, and why doesn't the Gemara mention Mion? That's in of itself, that's a good question, which I'm not sure if I have any intelligent response to. But the Rambam writes that another solution to the problem would be having the Ketana doing Mion, annulling the marriage, and then leaving only one marriage. He discusses the Rambam? Okay, good.
But this whole thing is that you don't encourage meal.
Oh, okay, right, right. That may become part of the issue. Meaning, is meal something encouraged, discouraged, or right? In other words, what's your attitude towards meal? That right. That may be part of the discussion.
Actually, this whole discussion really is there just to define the
right. Correct. Correct. In other words, agreed. I totally agreed. Meaning, in defense of the Rambam, we could just simply say that the Gemara is not focusing on really what the solution is. The Gemara is just focusing on what defining the marriages are. Absolutely, absolutely correct. I agree. Yeah. No, Yeah, good. It's a good question. I don't know. Meaning that if he's a Kohen, okay, good. I don't know. So here we go now. We're starting the next Mishnah. We're on Kufiyot Aleph Amud Aleph. And in the course of this Mishnah, I'm only going to do one thing, and that is work with the assumption that we built our entire first half of this year on. That the relationship between a man and a ketana is all or nothing, and the relationship between a man and a chereshes is partial. A man is married to two women starts off the first case of the Mishnah. And the man dies by Yavam al Rishon v'chazav al Shnia, and the Yavam, not really knowing what he's doing. So first he has bia with the first first widow, and then he has bia with the second widow. Okay, the Mishnah of course is not encouraging, not condoning. The Mishnah is just going to be talking about what the halacha would be if he were to do that. So Shaba Achival Ashniya, or let's say there's a second surviving brother, and he has relations with the second wife. Again, not encouraging, just simply saying what would be the halacha? Lo Pasal Es Harishona. He does not disqualify the first. Okay, and the reason why is because we're talking about the both ketanos, and again, what's the nature of the relationship between him and his two wives? All or nothing. So let's go over both sides of the equation. If it's all, so then when he had relations with the first wife, what is she? His wife. What's relations with the second wife, or the second widow, I should say? An act of znus, not condoned, not endorsed, but it's not going to affect his marriage with his first wife. Emotionally, it may affect it, but halachically, no effect whatsoever. Huh? No. What do you mean? From the second? She, if it's all, right, if it was...
She's still a minor, there can't be any kids.
No, second one we do.
Okay, I understand, but, all right. I'll tell you what. There's enough to chew on already. Let's just chew on what we have in front of us, and then afterwards, you want to digest some more. That's fine. But let's just sit on what we have right now. Okay. So, and if it's nothing, let's just go over the other side of the equation. So, if it's nothing, so the act of bia with the first is not yibum, but that of course then means that the act of bia with the second widow is not going to impact his relationship with the first, because the first wasn't yibum, the second is not going to be yibum as well. And it's interesting, the Gemara, we're not going to entertain the idea that maybe to one it's all and to the other it's nothing. In other words, we're going to pick a side. It's either both are all or both are nothing. The chain. And let's do the same thing again. Next case in the Mishnah, we're on the top of Kufiyot Alpha Med Beis Charashos Ketana. I'm sorry, the chain Beis Charashos. And the same halacha is going to be if both of them are charashos. Now here, by the way, the explanation is going to be a little bit different, but it's going to result in the same conclusion. Meaning, what is a cheresh? The relationship between him and his wife, who is a cheresh. In this case, he's got two wives who are charashos. So the relationship is partial kinyan. Okay, partial kinyan. So now, if he dies, leaving them as candidates for the mitzvah of yibum, and the brother and the surviving brother now is going to do be it with the first. So it's a partial kinyan. It's a partial yibum. Good. He fulfilled the mitzvah, whatever was partially left over for the mitzvah of Yibam. Then he has relations with the second, Cheresh, I should say. So that's not going to impact the first, because the mitzvah of Yibam now has been accomplished. Whatever was there, whatever marriage was there, was accomplished with the first, and the second's not going to impact the first. Good. Ketana v'Chereshes, So now, what if the two wives that are now widows are one being a ketana, the other being a chereshes? So if he first has relations with a ketana, follow them with the chereshes. Oh, sheba achival chereshes. Pasol es a ketana, disqualifies the ketana. Why does he disqualify the ketana? Because based on what we explained in the first half of today's shiur, we understand. Because what's the zika between him and the ketana, between the surviving brother and the ketana? It's either all or nothing. If it's all, he fulfilled the mitzvah of yibum. If it's nothing, then it's nothing. So now, what happens is that now he turns to the chereshes and he has relations with the chereshes, and there it's something. It's partial. So it's he now has had relations with the. With the chereshes, and because it's something, it's going to now impact and influence the relationship between him and the first. Because if him and the first was a full kinyan and a full zika, so then he did the mitzvah of yibum. But on the other hand, we also have to entertain the possibility that's nothing. And if it's nothing, so then his relation with the second one is now going to disqualify the first wife to him because there was no zika between him and the first wife. So, ketan v'cheresh is ba'al yavam, ketan v'chazer ba'al cheresh, so sheba'al cheresh.
That the Mishnah entertains now the thought that the ketana, that the act he does with ketana is not all or nothing, but it's all.
If it were just all, so then the his bia with the cheresh is one influence, one impact the ketana.
It's either or.
You have to keep both in mind. Okay. So, by Yavam Akatan, Vechazar Bala Chereshes, or Shabach of La Chereshes, Pasal Katana. By Yavam Al Chereshes, Vechazar Bala Katana, or Shabach of La Katana, Pasal Chereshes. So, and also the opposite would be true as well. So, that if he has relations first with the Chereshes, then with Katana, so then he passes the Chereshes. Okay. We're going to come back and we're going to explain. In both permutations, his act of being with the second is going to affect and disqualify the first, and we're going to go over why in both cases. Pikachas vechereshes. Now we're up to the next case in the Mishnah. He died leaving two wives, one being of full mental faculty, pikachas, what we'd call a regular widow, and the other one being a chereshes. So ba'yavam le pikachas vechazer ba'al chereshes or shabachi ba'al chereshes apostles of pikachas. So here, it's very simple. The Zika between him and the Pikachas is 100% full Zika. The marriage was min haTorah. The Zika is min haTorah. The Zika between him and the Chereshes is at best the Rabbanan and not even the Rabbanan. But mixas kinyan, kenuya mishuyeres. So if he first has relations with the Pikachas, then he has relations with the Chereshes. Obviously, the relations with the Chereshes is not going to impact the Pikachas at all. But if he first has relations with the Chereshes and then he has relations with the Pikachas, obviously, the relations with the Chereshes does not fully resolve the Zika that existed because the Zika between him and the Chereshes is only partial. The Zika between him and the Pikachas was full, so therefore his act of bia with the Pikachas is going to disqualify the Chereshes. Gedola uketana, next case in the Mishnah, where one's an adult and the other is a minor. So again, it's going to be basically the same. Having relations with the Gedola first is going to fully satisfy the Zika, meaning he is now fulfilled the mitzvah of Yibam with the Gedola, and if he has relations with the Ketana, it's not going to affect the first one at all. But Yavam LaKetana, V'chazer Bala Gedola, Shabach V'la Gedola, Pasos HaKetana. But if I reversed, and he first had relations with the Ketana, then afterwards with the Gedola, obviously it's going to impact the Gedola.
So there's a 50% chance that the Ketana is not a Tsar Erva for the...
Okay, good. And you're right. But there's a chance that she is. And Rabbi Lazar, Omer, Malamdam, Ketana, Shetamayim, Bo. And Rabbi Lazar says, let's encourage, educate. However, yesterday I know we discussed exactly to what degree we're going to educate, indoctrinate. But let's teach her to do miyun, and by teaching her to do miyun, so then that's going to annul the marriage with her and her previous husband, and good, and that resolves the problem. I'm Rav Yehuda, I'm Rav Shmuel, Halacha K'Rabbi Elazar. The Gemara points out that the halacha is like Rabbi Elazar, V'chein Amar Rabbi Elazar, Halacha K'Rabbi Elazar. Utsricha, and the Gemara points out it's absolutely necessary. Di'id Mar B'Hakamayis B'Hakamar Shmuel, Halacha K'Rabbi Elazar. Mishim Delo Kayam Mitzvot Yibam. Now, this is not the first time we said that the halacha falls like Rabbi Lazar. This is, in fact, the second time. In yesterday's daf, we went over that the halacha falls like Rabbi Lazar. So why do we have to repeat ourselves? So the Gemara says, yeah, because in yesterday's case, there's actually a mitzvah of Yibam opportunity. So there, by doing Miyun, you're going to be allowing the mitzvah of Yibam to be performed. Ababaha, di Kayam Mitzvot Yibam. But over here, where the mitzvah of Yibam is performed, Ematar Vayalivka Beged. So therefore, let both of them go out with a get. And maybe over here where the gedola now is being presented to him, so then we're going to encourage the other one to do miyun, but in the previous case, maybe not. So the Gemara says, so therefore we need to say that the halacha falls like Rabbi Lazar in both Mishnayos. Okay. One before we go on to the next Mishnah, just one point to clarify. The Mishnah says that we have a scenario in which a man is married to both a Chereshes and a Ketana, and he dies. So the Mishnah says that in both cases where he has bia with both of them, and it doesn't matter the order. He first has it with the Chereshes, then followed by the Ketana, or first he has it with the Ketana, then followed by the Chereshes. So because they are weaker Kinyanim, so therefore the second bia is going to disqualify the first wife. Why in both cases? So take a look at Rashi, the second Rashi in the Amud, and Rashi writes, I'll tell you why in both cases. Pasal as the Ketana, even in the case where first he has relations with the Ketana, followed then by the Chereshes. Mishum gzeira dilma kadim oval Chereshes bereisha, kida amra bigmara. The af agav de mimanav shachi shar yelei hol verishona he, I kenuya he ha kenuya, I lav kenuya he nachris ba'almahi. So Rashi says, think about it. In the case where first he has relations with the Ketana, followed then by the Chereshes. In that case, where it's first Ketana, then Chereshes, again, let's go over what we spent the entire morning learning. That the Ketana is either all or nothing. So if it's all, so what is that? Mitzvah Vibam. If it's nothing, what is that? Right, nothing means nothing, meaning it wasn't the Mitzvah Vibam. Okay. Then he has bia with the Chereshes. So what is that? So again, well, let's go over our two possibilities. Either it's I'm sorry, there's only one possibility with the Chereshes. It's a partial kinyan. Well, if it's a partial kinyan, so let's go back now and look at the first at that first union. If it was all is going to trump the partial. If it was nothing, so that means that there was no Zika, there was no mitzvah of Yibam. So why can't he keep the first wife? It's either the mitzvah of Yibam or it's just simply marriage with a quote unquote a strange girl, meaning she was not the widow of your brother. So Rashi says the reason why is because of gzeira, and the gzeira, it's an interesting gzeira, meaning generally speaking the chachamim don't make a gzeira on something which is in shchiach, but it's an interesting gzeira because in this case you're right, meaning me'ikar adin, if you think about it, he can preserve the relationship between he and the katana because me'man nafshach. In other words, either way, either it's yibum or it's marriage. And his subsequent bia with the chereshes is not going to impact the yibum and it's not going to impact the marriage. Fine. But if I were to reverse the scenario, if he first had relations with the Ketana and then followed them by the Chereshes, sorry, let me do that better and correctly. If he first had relations with the Chereshes, then followed by the Ketana, so now the act of Bia with the Ketana is going to upset the Chereshes because either it's all, which means then that's going to trump the partial Zika that came from the Chereshes, or it's nothing. But on the side that it's all, it's going to disqualify the relations that he had with the Chereshes. And because in that case, it's going to disqualify the first, so therefore in the inverse scenario, where first he has relations with the Chereshes, I'm sorry, with the Ketana, then by the Chereshes, so the Chachamim made a Gzera. That's Rashi's explanation.
In all these cases, the assumption that there's no Nama, right? You just skip Nama.
Yeah. Meaning, right now, right, correct. Right now, again, go back to what the doctor said earlier. That really, this is just a question of defining the nature of the relationship. Okay, let's go through the Mishnah. Yavam, next Mishnah. Yavam katan shabal yavama katana yigadlu zeim zem. Okay, let's say that the yavam and the yavama are katanim. Possible, some more than possible. Meaning that the widow in question could have been married off while she was a minor, and it could be that the surviving brother was also a minor. Okay, so under these circumstances, so what do you do? So the Mishnah says yavam katan shabal yavama katana yigadlu zeim zem. They grow up together, and then when they get older, So they'll fulfill at a later point in time the mitzvah of Yibum.
Baal Yavam,
huh?
Can she do
ostensibly? Yeah. Baal Yavam Gedola. Now, let's say the surviving brother was a katan and he had relations with his Yavam Gedola to get lenu. Again, let them grow up, and when he becomes an adult, he'll be able to fulfill the mitzvah of Yibum on a Torah level. Hayivam Shamar Besoch Shoshim Yom Lo Nivalti. Okay, the Mishnah deals now with a very delicate situation where. Okay, we are switching gears right now. Right, regular Yavam Yavama takes her in as a wife, and then she reports there has not been any intimacy. So lo nivalti kofeno so shiach lotzla. So as long as this report, as long as she comes and presents this information within the first 30 days of their marriage, so then the Beis Din is going to turn to the husband and say, okay, this is not working out. The whole purpose of Yibam is lahakim shem achiv. You're not doing what you're supposed to be doing, so they're going to force him to do a chalitza. After 30 days, only a request is going to be made, but not a demand. Okay, why request as opposed to demand? We'll come back to that. We'll answer that question at a later point in time. But let's say he totally admits, yeah, I agree, there has not been intimacy. And this is now even 12 months later, a year later, it doesn't matter. If he agrees that there's not been intimacy, Beis Din's going to step in and say, this is just untenable, and Beis Din is going to demand a divorce. If let's say she is looking at her possible brother-in-law, she's not happy with what she sees, and she makes a neder. I'm not getting any benefit from that man whatsoever. So if she does so b'chaye bala, if she does so while her husband's alive, in other words, she's projecting, anticipating that my husband doesn't survive, that is not what I want to spend the rest of my life with. So she makes a neder. So then kofino so shiach losa. So we're going to force the chalitza. La'achem isus bala. But if she does so after the death of her husband, mevakshin emenes shiach losa. Here we understand that she made the neder because of the circumstance she's in right now. We're not going to force him to do chalitza, but we're going to ask him to do chalitza. But let's say that this was all her intent all along, meaning that she made the neder simply because she doesn't want to be with her brother-in-law, and I'm not really sure how we know that this was her kavana, but let's say she forwards the information and she says, I'm not interested in that man. Even while her husband's alive, she says it. And she says, I'm making the neder because I don't want to do the mitzvah of Yibam with her. So then the only thing Beis Din is going to do is ask the surviving brother to do chalitza, but not demand that he do it. Okay, lema masisin de lo krav meir. We'll just finish off today with one point, and then we'll continue tomorrow. Our mission does not seem to be going like Rabbi Meir did Tanya, because we learned in a brisa katan ketana lo chotzim v'lo misyavdin div Rabbi Meir. Katan and ketana do not do chalitza, do not do yibam according to Rabbi Meir. Our Mishnah says that if we have a circumstance where the surviving brother, and she, the yavama, are ketanim, so let them grow up together. And Rav Meir says no such thing. So the Gemara says, "Afilu tem Rav Meir, ki amar Rav Meir gadol lekatan uketan legadol dechad minal bia diisurahu." So the Gemara says, "No, I'll tell you what Rav Meir objects to. If one of them is a katan, so Rav Meir is going to object because that's be a sister. Ava katan aba katana to tavai ki adadin inu. But if everything's equal, meaning he's a katan, she's a katana." So then, there's no issue whatsoever. So the Gemara says, so maybe our Mishnah then could be going in accordance with Rabbi Meir. The Gemara says, "V'hatigad lenu kamar the chol bia ubia di isurahu." So the Gemara says, okay, but our Mishnah also says, let them grow up together. So that means then that the Mishnah is allowing them to be together until they grow up. So doesn't that mean that basically we are encouraging and condoning them to be intimate with one another? And isn't that in of itself going to be a sister? So Ela Machmar to Masis Nelok Rab Meir. So the Gemara says, okay, so our Mishnah is not, okay, you're right. We would like our Mishnah to be like Rab Meir, stop Mishnah's for Rab Meir, but our Mishnah is not going like Rab Meir. Rab Meir does not endorse either Yibam or Chalitza to be done with the Katana Katana. And the reason why is because he's concerned about the possibility that he may be a stris, she may be an islandess, there will not be a fulfillment of the mitzvah of Yibum. Our Mishnah that endorses them living together is in fact not going like Rav Meir. The Gemara says, agreed. We'll stop over here. Tomorrow on Shabbos we'll pick it up with the next part of the discussion.